You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Psalms, chapter 22, verse 1. Psalms, chapter 22, verse 1. This is one of the few times each year that I cannot say where we left off last time. But today we're taking a field trip because we're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for America's Day of Repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. We are asking God to look upon us one more time and save our country. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. Excuse me. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Psalm 22, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Jesus is our Passover lamb.
Amen.
Jesus is our Passover lamb. Now, if you've got a correct Bible, you'll see there's a title there, To the Chief Musician, Arjaleth Shehar, Psalm of David. The chief musician means the one who has the victory. So that's Jesus. Now, it's going to look like in this psalm that he's the victim. Nope, he's the victim. Arjaleth Shehar is Hebrew for the dawning of a new day. Oh, happy day when Jesus took our sins away.
Amen.
And then it says the Psalm of David. God used the Holy Spirit used David to write this, and he entitled it the Passover Psalm. Now, wait a minute. We're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and David calls it the Passover Psalm. Okay, what is Passover? In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, just like mankind was in captivity to sin. And so God said, Moses, tell every family to find a firstborn lamb without spot and without blemish and kill the Passover. The lamb, the firstborn without spot, without blemish, is called the Passover lamb. Put the blood in a little bowl and dip some hyssop in it. And then take the blood and strike it on the lintel of the doorpost. That's down. And then on the two sides. In the Hebrew, this is tav. It's the form of a cross. And God says, when the death angel sees the blood on the cross on the doorpost, death will pass over you. And God said, I want you to keep the Passover forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
So you see, when you stand before the throne of God, if the blood of the Lamb of God is on the doorpost of your heart, eternal death will pass over you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It's a Christian word. So what is Easter? Easter comes from a word, Ishtar. She was a pagan goddess of fertility. Her subjects would go into the woods in the grass and lay eggs, if you get my drift, sexual orgies, quick like a bunny, if you get my drift, one after another. Eggs, bunny, and grass. Very sadly, that has come into the highest holy day of Christendom. Easter is in the Bible only one time, and it's a mistranslation. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 4. It's a blatant error. Amen. Obviously, the devil's children put it in there. The word in Greek is paschal. It means Passover. Again, Paul says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So you see, Jesus is our Passover lamb.
Amen.
Verse 1. Now, we're going to find what's going on with Jesus as he hangs on the cross. God gave David this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus hung on the cross. So now let's see Jesus' view from the cross.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent.
Now, these first two verses are what we call an acrostic in the Bible. It's something that God hides there and expects us to search it out. Excuse me. Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. So I searched it out. There are three flashing red lights about these verses. The first one is that while the rest of this psalm is written in Hebrew in the manuscripts, these two verses are written in Aramaic. Now, Jesus is Hebrew, and David is Hebrew, who saw this 1,000 years before. When you're in great agony, you don't go to a second language, so something's out of order, right? The second thing is, he says, my God, my God. That's a flashing red light. Study Jesus' life. He never called God God. He called him Father. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's out of order. The third flashing red light, he says, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah chapter 7:14 says that Jesus was born of a virgin, and he's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God with us. The Epistle of John says it's just one God in three different offices, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God cannot forsake himself. Sometimes you'd like to forsake yourself, wouldn't you? But you can't do that. So see, these three things are out of order. So what's going on here? Jesus is using covert activity. He's using a military strategy. We use it in America. When you're surrounded by the enemy, play dead, and maybe the enemy will let you live. Now, Jesus has got to stay alive on the cross 6 hours, total 6 hours. Why? In biblical numerics, six is a number of depraved mankind. If he dies 5 hours and 45 minutes before, my sins might not be forgiven or yours. So it's got to be six so he can pay everybody's sin debt. Now, for the joy set before him, Jesus went to the cross. He's glad to do this, so he has great peace, even though it's painful. If those people around him who are saying, crucify him, who also speak Aramaic, if they see he's too satisfied there, they might torture him and take him out before the 6 hours are up, and then somebody's sins could not be forgiven. See, he's wiser than serpents and harmless as doves.
Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
So you see, we're going to find out in this psalm that God the Father never did forsake the Son. It just looks that way. Now you notice, to whom is he speaking, thou art holy? He's speaking to God the Father. And when we speak, we praise the Father, God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, Jesus says, I praise you, Father. And that brings Father's presence. By the way, when God's presence comes, in his presence is fullness of joy. Now you have joy. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise brings his presence. The presence brings the joy. The joy brings the strength. So now Jesus has got the Father's presence. He's got his joy, for the joy set before he went to the cross, and he's got his presence. May I suggest to you that you live a life of praise. You'll have his presence, you'll have his joy, you'll have his strength. Amen. That is clue one, that God the Father did not forsake him. It just looks that way.
4. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. 5. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
Now Jesus does a very smart thing. He says, Father, you were always with the children of Israel when they were in trouble. Now you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Ecclesiastes says, what was will be again. So he says, Father, you deliver them and you deliver me. Remember that in your time of trouble. Remember that other time he handled your situation. He'll do it again.
6. But I am a worm.
Jesus looks down at his body, and his body is covered with red blood. They used a crimson worm, a red worm, to make red dye. They would dip the garment into the red dye, and the garment would come up red. Now, Jesus is not complaining. He is teaching from the cross. He's orchestrating his own crucifixion. He said, oh, good, I came to shed my blood. Okay, I look like I've been dipped in the dye made from a crimson worm. Check, that prophecy fulfilled. See, it looks like he's the victim. Mm-mm. To the chief musician, victory.
And no man.
Another prophecy, Isaiah said, he would have no shape that we would desire. Jesus looks down, he says, check, prophecy fulfilled. They had beaten him so, the flesh was off. They pulled his beard out. They got a crown of thorns on him. They got him pierced up there to a cross. You can't even tell he's a man. He could have been a dog or a big donkey. Prophecy fulfilled. Check. Jesus is in charge. He's the victory. He's orchestrated his crucifixion. Just looks like the victim. He came to die.
A reproach of men and despised of the people.
Another prophecy checked off. Isaiah said, we thought he was despised of God. No, it's the people. Check.
7. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, verse 8, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him.
The Gospels say they also said, if God will have him now, ha ha ha.
9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Another clue that God the Father did not forsake him. He's talking to God. He looks around the corner, and he sees Mary's big, beautiful eyes filled with tears. Yes, Mary knew that her baby boy was the Messiah. She knew he came to die, but her heart was broken. It was still her beautiful baby boy. And he looks over and sees the disciple, Apostle John, and he says, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. John, you go over there and take care of my mother. Even in this greatest moment that has ever happened, he thought of others. When I was a little girl, I played the church at piano, and we sang a song. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that as I live for others, I might live for thee. When you're hurting, help someone else. It'll ease your pain.
Amen. 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
This is another clue. He's talking to God the Father. Father, don't go away from me. Watch this now. Trouble is near. What is trouble? Trouble is sin. Jesus sees into the spiritual dimension, and all around him are all the sins any man ever could or ever will commit. There they are. And he says, Father, I want you to watch this. Jesus came, who knew no sin, to take our sins upon him, to nail them to the cross. Amen. Why did he want God the Father to watch it? Because this is the greatest thing that ever happened. So when you and I commit these sins and we ask forgiveness, God the Father can say, yes, I saw my son take your sin. All right, you're forgiven him. So all the sins are there. And Jesus looks over and he sees self-centeredness. And Jesus says, self-centeredness, come on me. Self-centeredness says, ha, 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 I got you, Jesus, and plops himself on Jesus. Self-centeredness thought he had Jesus, but Jesus took self-centeredness and nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
Jesus says, disobedience, come here. Disobedience says, ha, 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 I got you, Jesus. Disobedience plops himself on Jesus. Disobedience thinks he's got Jesus, but Jesus took disobedience and nailed it to the cross. And one by one, all the sins of mankind plopped themselves on Jesus. He took them on himself. He became sin who knew no sin and nailed them to his cross. Colossians 2.
Amen.
For there is none to help.
He's still talking to the Father. He says, Father, there's nobody else can do this. There's no other name given under heaven and earth whereby we might be saved. That's why Jesus said, even at Satan's catapult before the foundation of the world, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Lord, there's nobody else can do it, so I'll do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around.
Now, the bulls of Bashan would be, in Hebraism, it means magnificent animals. They're not animals. They are gorgeous-looking people, and they speak Aramaic. And that's why, when he was trying to fool them and make you think he was suffering, he spoke Aramaic. They are those who say they are Judah. We love our brother Judah, but they're not Judah. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil. When the serpent, who is not a serpent, that's one of his play-acting names, the devil, beguiled Eve, wholly seduced her, and bore Cain. Satan, old Lucifer there, in Ezekiel 28, was the best-looking thing God ever made. He was a full pattern. Cain was good-looking, and these magnificent animals are good-looking. Sargon the Magnificent, maybe you've heard of them. The devil's children were very good-looking. Now, I want to tell you, they're not so good-looking now because their daddy is death, and death deteriorates. They become less and less attractive, and if you look at their eyes look like the eyes of a snake.
13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion.
Your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. He always wanted to be God, but he's just the old devil. Now, he's standing there, he's watching that, and he's egging all of these crucifiers on. You know, the devil is pretty dumb. Poor devil, he's so dumb. He thought if he killed Jesus, that he, the devil, Lucifer, could be God. Because in Isaiah 14, that's what started all this sin mess. He wanted to be God. Little did he know that he was playing right into Jesus, who had the victory's hand. See, Jesus came to die. Jesus was winning. He was killing Jesus. And little did he know that when Jesus died, Jesus would arise from the dead. And that all of us who believe in Jesus would have everlasting life.
Amen.
Poor dumb devil.
Amen.
14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
Jesus died of a broken heart. The Roman crucifixion would cause your heart to melt half in two. All my bones are out of joint. The many-membered body of Christ, we're the body, Jesus is the head. You are bone of his bone. He says, the reason I'm doing this, it's my bones, my church. My church is out of joint. My people have sinned. You're out of joint, but I've come to put you back together again.
15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws.
I thirst, he said. Jesus thirsted so you and I could drink the water of life and never thirst again.
Amen. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death.
Death's name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Jesus says, I came to destroy death, whose name is the devil. Dust there means degradation. Jesus says, okay, it's getting closer. My 6 hours aren't up yet, but I'm about to die. That's what I came to do. Good. Checkpoint. Everything's in order. There is nothing more degrading than that the tree of life, who always was, who is, and always will be, would leave heaven's glory, plop himself into a woman's womb, and die on a cross. But Jesus is winning. Prophecy fulfilled. He came to die. He realizes it's getting closer. Not quite time yet. 6 hours not yet up.
16. The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
The dogs are the same things as the bulls of Bashan, the devil's children. They're all around.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
Check that prophecy, Genesis 3:15. After the serpent, who was really the devil, not a snake, just looked down like a snake, beguiled Eve, God was dressing Satan down, and he said, your seed shall bruise his heel. Check, it was done. Satan's children, the seed there, the Kenites, had pierced his ankles.
17. I may tell all my bones.
I can count all of my bones, he said. Now God knows that you are bone of his bone. So he says, I can see all of my children. I can see all of those who are going to be saved. I can count you. There's one, there's one, there's one. Jesus, if you're saved, has your number. He knows your address. He's counting you. Amen. And he's counting on you.
Amen. They look and stare upon me. 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. 19.
Now, we told in the Gospels that the Roman soldiers gambled for his seamless robe. They wanted a memento.
Let be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me.
Now, it's almost 6 hours. Let's just estimate that we got about 5 minutes to go. Jesus could have said, I've done enough. Enough people are going to be saved. No, it might have been my sins or it might have been yours. He's going to make it 6 hours, so whosoever will may come. But he realizes that he's dehydrated. He's about to go into a coma. He knows the body. And he says, Father, I need just a little bit more breath. I'm going to die. He's not trying to get out of dying. I want to make my 6 hours. Father, Holy Spirit, would you give me just enough breath so I can last my 6 hours, so whosoever will may come, so I can pay everybody's sin debt. Amen. Now, Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear.
20. Deliver my soul from the sword.
This is God the Father. Jesus has not even finished. Before they call, I will answer. God the Father says, my soul. My soul in the Hebrew means as one. Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are right here. We're one. We're with you.
Yeah. My darling from the power of the dog.
My darling means my only begotten. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember this. Isaiah 65:24. I live this. When you start to pray, if you're in right standing with God, not if you're living in sin or not if you're not doing what you ought to do, if you're living right for God, as soon as you start praying, he's already started to answer. Remember, Daniel started praying, and God said, before you even finished your prayer, I was sending Michael the archangel to help you.
Amen. 21. Save me from the lion's mouth.
Now, Jesus is still asking for help. Remember, God started answering before he finished. Lord, I'm asking for help. Okay, but see, God's already sent help.
For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn.
Oh, praise the Lord, Father, you heard me. While I was yet speaking, you answered. You heard me. Now, there's no such thing as a unicorn. It means a wild ox. You're going to let me live despite these bulls of Bashan and dogs. So you see, Jesus was asking for just a little bit more breath to finish his course. He wasn't getting out of death. He loved you so much. He wanted to go the last little minute for you.
22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel.
Now, what Jesus has done, he's looked down the corridors of time to the future heaven on earth, and he's rejoicing. He's looking ahead. He's going to see that all of the saved are going to praise God forever for the joy set before him and went to the cross.
24.
Now here is the verse that will prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that God the Father never forsook the Son. I know we were all taught that as a child, were we not? They're saying it all over America. No, it just looked that way. If God forsook the Son, he might forsake us. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. Now here's the proof.
And he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
The afflicted is the Son, Jesus. The first he there in the Hebrew is El, capital E-L. That is God the Father. He did not despise him. He did not abhor him.
Neither hath he hid his face from him.
See how they say he turned his back on him? No, he was looking at the whole thing. Listen, this is our Father God's greatest work ever has been, ever will be. Amen. The redemption of his children. You think he wasn't going to watch there? He never turned his back. He was there all the time.
Amen.
But when he cried unto him, he heard.
The first he is Jesus, the afflicted one. The second he is God the Father. Why don't you memorize that verse? And then when you feel that you're forsaken, God will never forsake you either.
25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him.
He looks again down the corridors of time and looks forward to the time we're all together happily praising God.
Your heart shall live forever.
Hey, people, I'm giving you eternal life.
Amen.
27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord.
Every eye shall see him.
All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee.
The nation shall wail as he comes a second time.
28. For the kingdom is the Lord.
He is King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
And he is the governor among the nations.
Of his kingdom there will be no end.
29. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
Now fat here means strong. He's looking down to the future heaven on earth. After the millennium, after the great white throne judgment, after the lake of fire, and earth is turned back into paradise restored. We're going to be strong and we're going to live forever. So he looks forward to that. But
all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him.
But he says, before I come the second time, dust, degradation, the devil pretending to be Jesus, the Antichrist is coming. And all those that worship the Antichrist, who comes at the sixth trump before Jesus comes at the seventh, they will bow down to the devil. He sees that. He's a caution.
And none can keep alive his own soul.
If you worship the Antichrist, even though he looks like Jesus, talks like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon, your soul is eternally lost.
30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
Mark 13, the generation of the fig tree. Jesus says there's one generation that will not die in the flesh. We will usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are it.
Hallelujah.
31. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.
Now the elect of the generation of the fig tree, alive now, were not born then. We were with God in spirit. And there were other people who are born now. So he says, the generation of the fig tree, the very elect, are going to tell the people that will be born. That's the people born now. Now, what in the world are the elect going to tell everybody?
That.
Here it comes. This is the message.
He hath done this.
This is in italics, so that was put there by the translators. This is the message for the elect to everybody in the world right now. He hath done. That is Hebrew equivalent of the Greek in the Gospels. It is finished.
Amen.
The full price paid. A finished work. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. The Marys, the Mary ladies, not too Mary, came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They expected to find him dead, although he said, "After 3 days and three nights, I will arise from the dead." They did not believe him. But look at you. You open the Bible, and it says, "With Jesus' stripes you are healed," and you don't believe the word. So they found the stone rolled away, and an angel was sitting on the stone. And the angel looked at them and said, "Ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said." Duh.
Amen.
I added the duh. All right, we move down. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus showed himself alive 40 days to prove he had arisen, and it was time for him to go back to the Father. And he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus died in your stead. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Jesus arose. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Jesus is our Passover Lamb. Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Now, for time's sake, I'm going to skip Scott's stuff. We'll resume that next week. And I'm going to skip the prayer of healing, because we're about to have communion and we're about to have a water baptism. Now, anybody in cyberspace, if you're not saved, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation, and I want you to pray it after me, and God will save you. I want to ask all of the people in here, my beautiful people, would you please stand who are going to be baptized and repeat this after me? This will assure your baptism. Ready? Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
I believe that Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Now this is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. The Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. I love you, and I can't wait until next time, when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
hey,
the
this is
trumpet
Darrell Evans.
Of truth.
Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can lead me to your throne. Nothing can lead me to your throne. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing can make your people one. But the blood of Jesus, oh, nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus, absolutely nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus.
It up.
Love you, Lord.
Oh, how I love
yes,
Jesus.
We do.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, how I love Jesus
because he first loved me.
We love you, Lord. Lift it up.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love
we love
Jesus.
You, Lord. Yes, we do.
Disappear. I need you even more today. For Jesus, I am overwhelmed by all your love has done, and all I want to say is that I adore you. Humbled by the grace of God, you meet my every need, and Jesus, you will be always my greatest love. Lord, to love you more is all I want, to hear you speak to my heart, to be consumed by you again. Fix my eyes on you and draw me near. Let all distractions disappear. I need you even more today. Jesus, I am overwhelmed by all your love has done, and all I want to say is that I adore you, Lord. I'm humbled by the grace of God. Jesus, you will be always my greatest love. I adore you.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Sing a new song to him who sits on. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.
From God's standpoint, sin is serious. From our standpoint, sin is inconvenient.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the danger of downplaying the importance and impact of disobeying God.
Sin brings consequences, and that's why it matters.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Speeding can get you a ticket. A felony could land you in jail. Today, Dr. Evans will talk about the consequences of disobeying God's laws and explain why we need to take the concept of sin very seriously. You'll want to turn to Genesis chapter 2 as we join him.
When you go to the store to purchase a device, whether it's a tool or an electrical device, you do so because you want that device to improve some aspect of your life or your home or your vehicle. It is purchased to make something better or easier for you. But when you purchase an electronic device, or a tool or an appliance, you will see something on the box or a sticker on the item. It will simply say, warning, read before using. And so we get these warnings in order to maximize the device that we have purchased. There is a device called life. You and I get to live it. But I want to talk to you about a warning that comes with the device called life. It is a warning often unread or when read, unused, creating a breakdown in the device called life. It is with that understanding that we begin at the beginning. When God first creates man, he gives mankind life. I'm using the word device, but I'm referring to life. You are alive. You possess life. But I'm sure there are plenty in this room who could testify this device is toe up from the flow up. It's broke down because it was misused or a warning was not heeded. Let me show you two verses in chapter 2. The Lord, verse 16, commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for in the day you eat from it you will surely die. That was the warning on the package called life. While this is the beginning of mankind, it was not written in the beginning. Moses is the author of Genesis. Moses is living many generations after Genesis occurs, because that's the first man, Adam, with the first woman, Eve. Moses is many generations later. He's in the book of Exodus, but he's the one who wrote Genesis. And Exodus, and Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, called the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible was written by Moses. So Moses is recounting God's history and the history of mankind up until the point he's writing it in order to deliver it to the Israelites, who he's the leader of. He's the leader of the Israelite nation. He wants that group to know the history of God with man so that they would have the information necessary to move forward as a nation and as a people to live a victorious life. So to teach them how to live a victorious life, He reaches all the way back to the beginning to show them how history, God's story, unfolds with mankind, and how this principle I'm going to share with you today and beyond works itself out in order to get them to move into their future differently. So I am doing with you and with us what Moses was doing with them in his day, going all the way back to the beginning, so that moving forward, we can get life right and not continue to repeat the generational cycle that has gotten so many of us messed up. The point that Moses is making to Israel, that he picks up from what God told Adam, was a very simple principle, and it is this: sin brings consequences. Sin brings consequences, and that's why it matters. Now, you and I live in a day when the word sin has been dumbed down. We call it mistakes, bad habits. In fact, when we want to be cool about it, we just simply say, my bad. Sin, in God's definition, is disobedience and departure from the divine standard. God sets a standard, men depart from it. The Bible calls that sin. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of that tree do not eat it, for you shall surely die. The tree will kill you. Now, what did the devil tell Eve? In verse 4 of chapter 3, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Translation, there will be no consequences. I know God said there would be consequences, but I'm telling you, says Slick, if you eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, don't worry about it. God's talking smack. He's talking noise. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. This tree not going to kill you. See that fruit on that tree? It's some good looking fruit. That tree is not going to kill you. God says it will surely kill you. Satan says it surely will not kill you. So we back to our choice. So now we got to talk about die. Die. Let's talk about die. When you think about the word die, you're thinking about a casket with a body in it of a deceased person. That's what we think about when we think about death. In the Bible, the word die does not mean cessation of existence. We look at it that way. Nor does it mean annihilation of existence. That's not the biblical understanding of the word death. The synonym for the word death in the Bible is separation. Okay, so for where I am now, I want you to think the word death.